The word luminary is defined as a person who has attained eminence in his or her field or is an inspiration to others. This month's guest certainly qualifies on both accounts. Stay tuned. Good afternoon. My name is Stephen DeLuque, co-host and co-producer, along with Krissa Hewitt, of this program, Ears on Art, a segment of Issues and Ideas, produced here at listener-supported public radio KCBX, serving Southern Monterey, San Luis Obispo, and Santa Barbara counties on California's glorious Central Coast. Today's and next week's guest is certainly a woman who deserves the title of luminary. Malou Mayo has been teaching in the area for many, many years. Her first name is a bit quizzical. It's M'LOU, and it actually is a contraction of her given name, Marianne Louise, which evolved into Marilou and eventually into its current incarnation of Malou. Krissa and I had the privilege of visiting with Malou at her striking home and studio, tucked away in a verdant oasis in the heart of San Luis Obispo. We enter the conversation mid-stride.
The older pieces are around. That is one. And I've always had a keen interest in drawing the figure. That's something that's gone on all through my artistic world. And materials. I think if I got it down to materials, interest in materials, unusual materials, and also, you know, having woven pieces. Obviously, weaving is another thing that I've gotten involved with. Very traditional when I first started, the loom and the whole nine yards, you know, mm-hmm. for a number of years until I finally just got bored with it. It was too limiting for me for what I wanted to do. So materials and my interest in the figure. Anyway, let's go back here. There's the photography. I take pictures all the time, of course, but for a while I was involved in doing really nice pictures, good pictures that you could hang on the wall. And I noticed these today, and I thought, you know, these really are pretty nice. Ed and I did quite a bit of traveling when we were younger, and we went to France a lot, and these are all pictures from France here.
I'm loving this one of the roofline because it is so reminiscent of things that often catch my eye when I'm traveling and people watch me aiming my camera at things and going, oh, what's she doing?
Exactly. That happens all the time when we travel with a group of friends. I'm looking down and I'm looking at funny places and they go, what do you see? And that looks like a stage shot, but it wasn't. There they were, drawing.
The black socks against the rock wall.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't believe it. Like somebody knew I was coming, and they got something set up for me. That's an older piece in the days after I gave up the loom. And that's all made with raffia, and it's knitted. And the thing that was really funny about that is I knit those long tubes. Everywhere I went, you know, the doctor's office sitting and waiting and, you know, I have two small children, so, and people just were fascinated, you know, what is she doing? But anyway, I think that shows my interest in materials. Mm-hmm. And there it is again. I can't seem to work flat. I mm-hmm. just get interested in the way the light falls and shadows and, you know, that sort of thing.
Malou, we've now had this very quick little tour to, I guess, bedroom in the house to see these really great photographs and the piece that you were describing. Welcome to Ears on Art, Malou Mayo.
Oh, well, welcome to my home, Krissa and Stephen.
Thank you very much.
I know that you haven't always been here in the heart of San Luis Obispo, so for a while you were kind of out.
That's another tale.
A little bit. But this interest in different, not only different disciplines, but different materials, if we go way back to your beginning, do you know when it was that art was a trigger or a part part of your life?
Oh, it always was, because my mother was an artist. And so I didn't understand people didn't have art in there. I mean, it was just so much a part of my life. And there was just never a time that it wasn't there. And I was good at it, and I just continued to grow and went to a college that had a very good fine arts department.
Where was that?
Scripps College in Claremont. Mm-hmm. And I also went on and got a master's degree there as well. So I don't know, it's just natural. I don't think I ever thought of anything else that I would do, except I used to go and clean up with my mother. At the end of the day, she was an art teacher. Mm-hmm. And I said, the last thing, I'm never going to be as a teacher. And of course, I went and was a teacher for years. You know, it's one of those things you think you'll never do. And I enjoyed that. I mean, I loved my teaching over the years. I taught every level. I don't think there was a level I didn't, even graduate school, all the way from kids in first grade all the way up to graduate school. So, yeah. Huh. Yeah.
What was the first medium that you worked in?
The first medium? You mean worked in outside of classes?
Right.
What I wanted to chose to work in. Well, medium. Drawing, I think. Mixed media drawing. I do like to work very simply as well. Simple contour line drawing, I'm attracted to. So there was that. But I never wanted to be, I never reacted to being a painter. I was always more interested in mixing. You know, this is back to the materials mm-hmm. thing. Right from the get-go, it was about combining materials and seeing how they would interact with one another. So I guess I started out with that attention to mixed materials. And then as I moved into weaving, I also took traditional weaving classes at Scripps. I had a very good traditional weaver. So I learned all the skills that you need to do that. But I got bored with that after a while, and I just moved away from it. And started working with kind of unusual materials mm-hmm. in my weaving exploration.
Was your pursuit of these materials textural? Was that the primary?
Definitely. Very, very much like a texture. Yeah, I had a small one-person show at Cuesta, and it was called A Material World. And I didn't make that name up. I thought it was a good name. Mm-hmm. But it was pretty clear to everybody that materials were my stick, you know. That's mm-hmm. what I'm doing, messing around with those materials. Mm-hmm. And when you get out to the studio, you'll see the places got stuff everywhere. I just don't throw anything away. You know, I might need that.
So, all of the different levels of teaching, were you in regular public schools, or were they just different kinds of opportunities? I know you taught at Cuesta for quite a while,
but
you say all different other ages.
23 years at Cuesta.
I think that qualifies as quite a while.
That's quite a while. I taught occasionally at Pauley as well. Since I was part-time at Cuesta, I could take on another class, and there were, 10, 12 times. You know,
right.
Yes, mostly it was the public school system. Found that I enjoyed working with older children, older people, more than with the babies. I mean, they're fun and they're delightful, but I think they can do anything and it's good. I mean, I just didn't feel much impact in teaching them. It was mostly just let them go, you know, don't try to interfere with what they're doing, because what they're doing is wonderful. Just make the opportunity.
Probably more impact than you might realize, but not as much opportunity to learn that, because they don't know it either. Boy, you were so terrific to let me do what I needed to do isn't usually what comes out of a young kid's mouth.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, you know, over the years. I mean, you know, I'm 73, and so occasionally I hear what somebody's friend of mine's child or grandchild will say, how wonderful those classes were back when, you know. So you don't get that feedback very often.
No.
But
it is great.
But when you get a little bit, it is great. It makes you feel great, that's for sure.
I think it's what was once called psychic income.
Ah. Oh, really? That's good.
Somebody, when they were cutting budgets, let us know that that's what we were being paid.
That we were being paid for.
That feel-good attitude.
Well, that's too bad it's used in that context, isn't it?
Yes.
But it is. There is that reward, that's for sure. Okay, well, I just thought you might enjoy seeing those photographs.
I do.
I don't think I have anything in here, but my mother, bless her little heart, here's some of my mother's work in here. The cat.
Oh, Stephen.
I saw the reflection in the mirror.
Are you a cat person?
I'm very much a cat person.
Oh, well, yes. Then you have to see this one.
Oh, isn't that a sweet thing?
It's
Mummy and her kittens.
Yeah, yeah.
Little Tabby.
It's really sweet. Yeah.
How
so
fun.
That was always around me, and wasn't a step at all to get into it. It was just what was in the veins.
Listening to our guest, Malou Mayo, talk about her mother brought back very good memories for me. Her name was Esther Martin. And she was an active part of the San Luis Obispo Art Center during the 70s and 80s. She and several other women were certainly leaders that I came to respect a great deal for their dedication and their enthusiasm about just making sure that that institution was alive and strong. Stephen and I continue now with our tour of Malou Mayo's home, as she continues to show us examples of work that she has done over her many decades of being an artist.
Let's see, what else is there around here that won't be interesting to you? I think these were kind of interesting. It shows my interest in different materials.
Mm-hmm. So you're painting on glass?
Uh-huh, yeah. Not painting. Those are prints.
Are they?
I was into lizards for a while. I did a whole series on lizards.
The day after our interview, Malou called and gave this wonderful explanation of her love of lizards. She and her husband, Ed, for many years lived out at Toro Creek. She would take walks on the road, and as often happens in the country, vehicles come along and animals get squished. The lizards, I guess, very often did not make it across the road. After the winter muds and then things started to dry out in the spring, Malou would discover these, what she called, lizard jerky pieces. In essence, dried up bodies. They were so rigid that she was able to make molds off of them, and from the molds make blocks that she could actually print with. Occasionally, she even printed off of the lizards themselves. As we continue to hear her love of exploration of materials, guess it isn't too surprising that this one can be added to that list. You are listening to Ears on Art, produced here at the studios of KCBX Public Radio for the California Central Coast. Our guest today is Malou Mayo, who has been a resident, artist, and teacher in this community for 45 years. Stephen and I return now as she continues to give us the house tour so that we can see some of the older artwork. Next week, we will visit the studio and her succulent garden.
I really love lizards and metal. I also love metal in every manner, shape, or form.
Could you take us chronologically through the different mediums that you worked in? I think a lot of people would be fascinated to know what the process is to move from one to another.
Well, I never thought that I... Well, I guess when I was weaving, I wasn't drawing, that's for sure. I did feel for a long time that there were two tracks. One was the drawing track, and the other one was the weaving or mixed media materials track. And then I got to wanting to combine those. I felt like a little schizophrenic-y thing going on here. And as we go around, I can point out where they combine, because I felt that I needed to do that. I don't know what that was about, but it just seemed like I needed to pull those two things together, which I did. Let me see if I can point out anything where that happens. Oh, these are kind of fun. I make these every year. And these are of our family every year. It's a photo collage of a family. I have probably 20 of these.
So each one is speaking to that year?
That year, yeah. What the highlights of that year, you know, what's going on. And, of course, with the grandchildren, bless their little hearts, there's so much going on that they get busier and busier. These are, I think, a good representation of, again, that needing, the need to bring things off the wall.
And is this aluminum?
It's aluminum, yeah. I get a real kick out of taking real ordinary materials, and in some cases, maybe ugly materials, or at least not, doesn't have much artistic value in itself, and taking very ordinary materials to put them together, like glue and tape and that sort of thing, instead of highly technical kind of fabrication. You know, I don't weld, I don't do any of that stuff. And then taking those and making something that is interesting, unexpected, and nice to look at.
So the two that we're looking at right now are basically compositions in the aluminum or silver color,
mm-hmm.
red, which I'm assuming has been painted on or
yeah,
in some form.
Yeah. And actually, it was the red was, I was spraying a lot of red stuff, and this was the paint, the paper it was underneath. That's the don't throw anything away.
and mounted on black, basically. So it's a very straightforward palette. The figure is part of this, and you were saying that you really enjoy drawing the figures.
But so you can see this is one where I'm not working on paper anymore at all, but I'm marrying the interest in the figure with my interest in the materials.
And also repeating that strong silhouette line that you were talking about for the figure.
Yeah. And the same over here. It's very similarly done. This is when I was doing all of the lizards.
Do you see things that inspire you to go? These are incredibly unique looking. So did you see something similar to it, or do you just let your imagination go crazy?
Yeah, some of it comes out of teaching. Mm-hmm. I taught design, 2D design, and one of the assignments that I gave to the students was to make these erasers, which make wonderful prints.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, then I started doing it, and that kind of led me into this series. So sometimes you get inspired by the assignments mm-hmm. that you dream up for your students. Mm-hmm. And hey, that's pretty cool. I'll do that myself, So, but here, speaking of that, we're jumping over a little bit, but this is kind of interesting, I think. Before I get into that, here's old work. We're talking about going back. That one up there is in the days when I was working more traditionally, except as far as materials go.
Right.
But anyway, it's a nice sculptural piece. Mm-hmm. And these guys up here are kind of a combination of interesting papers and so on, and the figure again. So often you will find, if you look around at what I've been up to, that the figure gets into it.
The two that we're looking at now are basically like house kind of structures.
They're a house theme. And the thing that's funny about this, and I don't think anybody would particularly get it, but I know who those figures are. That is my daughter, and that is my son. And I have her going out, and he is going in. And the funny thing is, she moved away, and he came back as adults. So it becomes very personally meaningful, mm-hmm. Up there to look at everyone. He's turned into quite an artist. That's his piece there.
This one here,
yeah,
with all the soldiers in a ball. And I don't know if you noticed in the other room, that white frieze across, that's his piece, too.
It's up above the window.
Who, unfortunately, he had a show at the Art Center, but he can't do that anymore. No. He's got two children, but he'll get back to it. He will. You know, it's in his blood, too. Okay, the question of inspiration and getting ideas from places. I was in Mexico with my daughter and her family, and I saw this piece. Oh, it isn't this piece, but a piece like this.
And which one are you pointing to? We're looking at
a
shelf
full. I'm looking at the box. It's the box.
Okay.
And down there, I found out, through observing that piece, which I loved and couldn't have, so I came home and made one for myself. Very similar, but of course you never can copy anything. You think you're copying something, which I feel fine about doing, but I don't do it. You know, the minute you start doing things differently, and we all know that. But what I found out about is carving avocado pits. And that's,
these are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 35?
Yeah,
35 little faces, each in their own little compartment.
Exactly.
And each face, we're now learning, was carved from avocado pits.
Right. And these as well. These are avocado pit persons. My most recent piece has that in it, which you will see.
Is there a significance to the matchboxes?
I don't know. I mean, I just stole the idea. I don't know. I think it's just a way to get a unit.
Mm-hmm. Just to frame the face.
Yeah. Easy peasy, right? You just have that little box and you can put it in. So I don't know that there's any significance, but it works well. I think I left the labels around the edge.
You most certainly did.
Yeah, which I thought was, tell exactly what it is.
I'm right.
Not trying to hide anything. And the matches are fun. That was my contribution. They're not real. I knew it was too dangerous to do that. Somebody thought would say, I wonder if they're real, Sure, the whole thing goes up. So, yeah, kind of covered the inside. This was in that show at the recently, that it started with a red thread.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in that one, I got, and not only did I need to work off of Gina's piece, but I also had loved the idea of these snakes. That's what I see. Interestingly to me, talking to people about that piece, they don't immediately see that there are these snakes coming out. And it's wonderful for me to hear what they see, because it gives me a whole different view of it.
It started with a red thread. For people that didn't happen to see that show, was one put together by a group that you have been a part of for 30 something years?
Oh, over 40.
Over 40 now. Okay, yeah. One more decade gone.
Yes.
And the whole theme of that is that one person started and created a piece, and then the next person created a piece built off of that one,
right?
Emotionally, spiritually, design-wise, whatever it was that turned one of you on. And you were number what?
Was at the end. I was number 9, and then Roberta worked off of me, and I worked off of Gina Halfmeister. And they're kind of shockingly different, the three of them, But there is a thread. That's all we were obliged to do was the connection. The word thread gave us the challenge to pull something from the other piece that still was our own at the same time. It was challenging.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised how challenging it was to make that relationship and still be excited about making the piece itself.
And also knowing enough about 10 of you in this case that participated. I mean, A, you've known each other for a long, long time, but B, each of you is an accomplished creative person in your own right. So having that sense of, I have to be interconnected here, but I still want to be independent. Mm-hmm. Was that kind of a challenge?
Oh, sure. Sure it was. It was very much so. I thought it would be easy thing until I started doing it. And then I found that it wasn't as easy as I thought. It was more challenging. These two little guys are fun. This is a clue into this relay, trying to bring the figure together with the other approach I have, which has having to do in this case with the material exploration.
And in this case, we're looking to some extent with the use of corrugated
cardboard.
Is that a redundant statement?
No.
Okay.
Not all cardboard is corrugated.
Okay, that's checking.
I have this a lot around. It comes from the fact that I don't like to frame things. I don't find interesting frames, and I think it kind of blocks it in. Mm-hmm. It constrains the piece. Now, I don't say that other people should. I mean, people shouldn't frame their artwork. But for me, what I'm doing needs to have some kind of, I don't know, space. I don't know if that's the right word.
I can certainly identify with that in terms of my own work. How do I complete what I'm talking about here? And if I'm making a base for it, if I'm making whatever, I have to really think about how that all works.
Presentation is really an important thing to finish it, so to speak. I found this is a satisfactory solution to use corrugated cardboard. I don't think it's the thing people would think of .
Well, a lot of people don't really think about the edge of cardboard as opposed to just the surface. So
it's beautiful, really beautiful. Yeah.
Again, it has almost a woven texture to it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It all sort of works together, you know. I mean, it's pretty obvious what I'm interested in and what I'm attracted to, you know, having to do with woven textures and so on. And that piece is one that really shows the marriage of the weaving and the figures, because that whole bottom part of that basket is woven together. So, and my attraction to metal. In that case, it's copper. But I'm, you know, the two things, copper and then the aluminum, is color that I'm attracted to. I've stayed away from bronze. I could do this all in gold, but don't like gold. Isn't that funny?
No, I mean, as one who works with metal, I certainly appreciate those, you know, sensitivities and enjoyment of color. And, I mean, Stephen knows it well, too, but the difference between sterling and white gold, you kind of go, well, they're both whatever color metal, but they're not.
No, they're not the same at all, no.
And platinum, I mean...
Platinum and palladium both have different surface reflections and things like that. They all act differently.
Yeah. Well, you know, having said that, I'm thinking, you know, I should take that on as a challenge to work with bronze, because I can get it in these sheets, just the way of this, and see if I, you know, as I've tossed it aside and say, I don't like that, but I should see if I can't do something with it. You know, challenge myself.
Yeah, that's what we all need, is to make sure we never do something without a challenge.
I would like to thank our guest, Malou Mayo, who graciously allowed us to interrupt her gardening schedule to have this conversation. Next week, we move to Malou's studio and her current works in progress. You have been listening to Ears on Art, a segment of Issues and Ideas produced at the studios of listener-supported KCBX Public Radio in San Luis Obispo, California. This is Stephen DeLuque, and for co-host Krissa Hewitt, thank you for listening.